Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Tuesday, April 24th. We're here with you. Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're all there. Snowtap WI, it is a website. Don't forget that. As well as subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, whatever you want. The listens have been great the last couple of days. Thank you so much for listening. Whoever you are, if you're enjoying this, I always like to know. It's always fun to hear. Heard from Clayton yesterday. Says he listens on his way home from work, so I appreciate that. Shouts to him. And if you got, I would love to know more. I mean, who's listening? How are you listening? You let me know. I would love to hear it. Snowtap WI on any of those channels, like I mentioned. And yeah, thanks for listening. It's always appreciated. We look forward to talking about tacos, talking about Marcus Smart, maybe a little extra game five stuff shoot into that, and then finish off talking about my new love for the Utah Jazz. All right, so the Milwaukee media, the local media, national media, kind of overreacted on Monday. Basically, this whole Giannis Belair story kind of got out of hand. Like, it just sort of spiraled out of control, and it's just anything in social media right now. I mean, it's a classic 2018 story where people just take a thing and they make it into a much bigger thing that doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to be this big of a deal. Like, news crews outside of Bel Air, and the news just completely pounded into the ground. ESPN, Darren Rovell did a story Monday morning about it. I mean, it was just one of those things that sort of took over the sports landscape for a 24-hour period, which is crazy. And it's like, it's just fucking tacos. It's just tacos. Like, it's Taco Tuesday today. I'm sure Bel Air will have a popping crowd. I'm sure there will be someone trying to do a story. I'm sure they're going to have the Bucks game on, and people are going to be like, well, how are you eating here while the Bucks are playing, or something dumb. But, you know, it's just sort of very social media, very 2018, where we have nothing better to cover, so we're going to cover a story about a guy, an NBA star who got denied tacos. Like, there just really wasn't much heading into tonight's NBA or last night's NBA games. There wasn't a baseball story. There wasn't a football draft story. Everyone just sort of needed something to start off a slow week, and they decided to pick on this taco story. And then the Great Taco War broke out of 2018. And I'll always remember the Great Taco War 2018 with Qdoba doing their own promotion today and yesterday. And then another taco truck locally trolls Qdoba and says, or trolls Bel Air and says, Giannis always has a seat available for there. So I'm sure this has been a whirlwind for Bel Air. I mean, Bel Air is kind of known for always sort of having positive vibes and having good press. So to deal with this is quite interesting. And it was also very interesting to see the Milwaukee community not really feeling themselves when it came to Bel Air Cantina, which is interesting because I've also been a proponent of that Bel Air is good, not great. I mean, it's a place that I'll have dinner. I think Bel Air falls into the Cafe Hollander category, where if someone suggests it for dinner and it's their choice, it's not a problem. It's not a major issue. But if they ask for suggestions and you give them some and they're like, well, what about Bel Air? How do you compare it to Bel Air? Then it's like, okay, let's rein it in. I'm a little bit of a foodie, but I think the Milwaukee community are a bunch of foodies because everybody's like, well, you could get better tacos on the south side. You could get better tacos at Cafe Corazon, who is probably a little bit like Bel Air without all the bells and whistles. So I think there is a sort of a like, okay, Bel Air is trash. And I would say it's trash. I think it's a decent place. I just don't think it's a utter worldly taco place. It's a Tex-Mex place, if anything. They have good food. It's just not the, it's not, it's like, it doesn't fall on either end of the spectrum. It doesn't fall on the, it's really bad and we should never go there. And it's also, it's not like it's a must do when you're visiting in Milwaukee. But, I mean, it's good shine for Belair. I'm sure as it goes on, they can figure out ways to incorporate Giannis or do things with Giannis. Who knows if they have any involvement with the stadium or the concessions. Belair, that would be one of those weird, awkward Larry David moments for there. Also, the question has to be asked, should Snowtap sponsor a Tour de Taco around Walker's Point, around the South Side? Should we just do a Tour de Taco? I'm literally taking an idea directly from my girlfriend, who, if she listens to this podcast, she's going to be like, you asshole, this is my idea. Yes, it is. But at the same time, why not have an absolute taco crawl and start just going around and around and making a distinction about the best tacos and do it in honor of Giannis. Tell Giannis that we are finding his best taco so he never have to worry about seating again. And someone made a comment, I think it was Alex Patakis, who made the comment like, Giannis would have really been a true Milwaukee, and if he went over and slammed 7 drinks at Fink's. And that's couldn't be more true, because if you know anything about waiting in line in Bel Air, the sneaky, actually okay thing about waiting for Bel Air is the idea that you can go over to Fink's, have about 2 or 3 cocktails, come in a little loose, ready to go, and it's just right across the street. It's a nice dive. It's become almost a pot. I almost can't call it a dive because it's kind of popular. It's one of those hipster places that looks like a dive, smells like a dive, but there's so many people in there that it's actually trendy. So can you really call it a dive? I'd say no. So anyways, that is a story that I think will kind of die. I know that we'll talk about it on the national broadcast, local broadcast probably. I've seen the other side of it, like, Giannis is a human, and how can you expect him to just not be out on a busy street? Like, that's such a ridiculous comment, because he's Giannis, man. He's a fucking superstar. He's going to get this attention. Unfortunately, this was Giannis' superstar moment. He is now on the same echelon as Aaron Rodgers, LeBron James, where he can't just really go out in public and get food. I mean, he wants to, I'm sure, but people are going to notice him. People are going to want to take pictures with him. That's just how it goes, man. He is an absolute star in this city. And the other thing is, like, I'm glad this story is dying. Well, unfortunately, it's the social media thing we live in where people bang things and drill things all the way into the ground. All right, let's talk a little Game 5. So Game 5 tonight at the Garden. Big game. Obviously, we all know that. And we all know that it is, I wouldn't say a do-or-die game for Milwaukee. I mean, if they do lose, they will face elimination on Thursday night. But it's not, I don't think if Milwaukee loses that they're immediately out of it. I do think if Milwaukee comes back to the Bradley Center with the Game 6 lead, and we know the Game 6 struggles, that'll be something that we'll talk a lot about as this podcast goes on this week. And that if the Bucks have that, the crowd will be something that we haven't seen in quite some time. That it will be an absolutely raucous atmosphere to try to help the Bucks get over that hump finally. And the Celtics could get an addition back with Marcus Smart potentially returning for tonight's game. Smart said he got upgraded to questionable last night. And I'm really interested to see how this would work with the Celtics if Smart does play. Now, he was getting his thumb looked at, I believe, today. So they must think that he's going to try to get his thumb looked at today. The doctors say, yeah, you can play tonight. He's going to go play. Because Marcus Smart's a grinder. He is a tough ass. Like, he's definitely a guy who adds a toughness element to the team. But I don't really know how this is all going to work with, you know, the chemistry and what the Celtics have developed on offense. Sure, defensively, it's a huge boost. It's especially against a guy like Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton has been so good in these playoffs, and there's been nobody to stop him, and I'm sure Marcus Smart would be known as the Middleton stopper. But the other question is like, how does that screw up the flow of the offense? Like, Marcus Smart can be a chucker at times. And then if he disrupts the rhythm that Jaylen Brown's having going, that Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum, if he screws that up offensively and they are suddenly a worse team offensively, doesn't that help the Bucks? Like, I understand that he could slow down Chris Middleton, but that just means that Jabari Parker, Giannis, Eric Bledsoe, Matthew Dellavedova, Found Maker, one of these guys, they just need a few other guys to step up. And that, Marcus Smart's not going to be on the court the whole game. There's no way, even though it's just a thumb injury, there's no way he has the conditioning to play 30 or 40 minutes with Chris Middleton the entire way. So Chris Middleton's still going to get buckets. I think he can add some great energy, but if I'm a Boston fan, I'm a little nervous that he's going to disrupt the flow, especially when you look at the offensive rating with Smart on the floor. It's not a pretty sight because Smart he can't shoot. He sometimes tries to think he can shoot and he clanks threes. And so it could be a huge advantage for the Bucks, even though Marcus Smart, obviously that's a careful what you wish for sort of situation. It'll be interesting to see about John Henson. We don't really know. Status is still unknown about John Henson. I did not see anything if he had traveled with the team or what, but Thon Maker is a little concerning in this game. I mentioned that earlier on Sunday, that Thon going into a road environment where it's much different than what he was dealing with in Bradley Center could lead to some old Thon stuff coming out. I hope that's not the case. I hope that Thon just keeps his composure out there, but it could be a little bit of a struggle for the young prospect. I don't know what to expect. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think it's going to obviously be like everything else. I'd be very surprised if this is a game two result for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they're obviously re-engaged. I think a little bit Giannis smells blood in the water and knows that this Celtics team is kind of ripe for the picking, that he knows that these guys can beat them. That Milwaukee can beat the Celtics. They just have to finish the deal. They have two games left to do it. We'll see if Milwaukee can't get it done. Obviously, tomorrow's podcast, we will talk all about Game 5. We'll see if Marcus Smart does in fact come back and then get sort of ready for Game 6. And obviously, the emotions twofold. Either we're riding high and fist pumping and being all excited, or we are depressed and wondering if Thursday night will be the last time at the Bradley Center. All right, just really quick to finish up as I have to get myself going. I do want to just give a quick shout out to the Utah Jazz. I love the Utah Jazz. I realized that last night watching a TNT broadcast. I'm like, I really like this team. I mean, honest question, who's your favorite Western Conference team right now? Is it the Pelicans or is it the Jazz? Do I just want to see a Pelicans-Jazz Western Conference Finals? Maybe. I mean, I think that would be a crippling Western Conference Finals for the TV ratings. But from a pure basketball standpoint, I think that's what I want to see. I don't know how much I'm excited to. I'm excited to watch the sort of scrappy underdogs of Utah play Houston. And I'm excited to watch New Orleans try to take down Golden State. I think both have a chance to be really fun. Obviously, the juxtaposition of each team to say who's going to screw it up. Is it going to be Utah? Is it going to be New Orleans? But the Jazz are so fun. The crowd's back to being what it was in the 90s. Ricky Rubio's resurgence is something to admire. Rubio's been a really good player. I mean, remember, he was a guy that they floated around potentially being a Milwaukee Buck. Never happened. They wanted Chris Middleton for him, which I would never have done. But man, imagine Ricky Rubio on this Milwaukee Bucks roster with the way he's playing in the playoffs. Be kind of fun, just a little bit, right? The crowd, Donovan Mitchell has been tremendous. I mean, he's a star right off the gate. He's probably, if you had to redraft the NBA draft, he probably goes number two right now behind Jason Tatum. He's been so tremendous. He had 33 last night. He's completely owned, Russell Westbrook and Paul George, which isn't a small feat, to say the least. And speaking of owning, Quinn Snyder has done magical work against Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's kind of shown his ass in this playoffs. Definitely has not looked like an upper echelon NBA coach. And to finish it off, you have to love the Joe Ingles heel turn. It is a fantastic development. He's became a heel overnight, and I'm here for it. Maybe he watched a little Lance, got himself inspired. All right, guys, that about does it for us. I'm sorry if the voice is a little raspy today. Like I said, still working through a little bit of allergies, but I know some of you enjoy the raspy soundings of Charlie Trichler. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk Game 5. We also have a Brewers-Royals series to take a look at, and who knows what other things may come up. Maybe people are mad about burgers tomorrow. Maybe they're mad about Chinese takeout. Who knows? We need more good Chinese takeouts in Milwaukee. Wanzi's is only enough, and chopsticks is only when we're drunk. But that's another story for another podcast. All right, guys, take care. Have a good Tuesday. Later.